Hello and welcome to the Innovation Times podcast. We're starting an exciting time in Innovation Times because now we're on video format. One of my first guests on Innovation Times in the past was Chris Hobson from Orion Health, and we talked a lot about the change in healthcare, the change in different models around healthcare, and also privacy laws, rules, and regulations. Time has moved on, and I'm pleased to have Chris on the show again and talk a little bit about how technology is changing the state of healthcare across the world and also across Canada. Joining me today at Orion Health's Toronto offices is Chris Hobson, who's the Chief Medical Officer at Orion Health. Orion works across the globe and across multiple offices from New Zealand to Canada, and they're one of the biggest change makers in the industry. With me, Chris Hobson. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Ian. It's a pleasure to be here.
So how have things been at Orion Health? I know there's been a lot of development over the past few months and past few years. We've met at a few of the conventions, and we talked about privacy. We've talked about state of innovation. There's a lot going in healthcare, specifically with respect to new technology that's emerging. But sometimes as technologists have that analysis paralysis, we talk too much about technology, but the actual solutions at the ground level and the needs of the patient base is still the same. Yeah. How do you see the needs of patients across the world the same, or do you find them different?
So the needs of patients are pretty much the same across the world. So globally, we know the occurrence of multiple chronic disease is the largest cause of death and dying. We know that the 5% of patients who have one or more chronic conditions contribute to 50% of the healthcare cost. That's the same whether you're in the US or New Zealand or the UK or Canada. So the patients are the same. They have the same diseases. They have two legs, you know, all of those things. Patients are the same. But the situation and the system that they live in is obviously very different. And some healthcare systems are much more oriented towards primary care in the community. And the example everyone holds up always is the UK and their National Health Service, which is very oriented to primary care. Through possibly on the other end of the scale, the United States, which tends to be much less oriented towards community care and primary care, and instead is oriented towards high technology medicine and so on. In Canada, we actually have, you know, a good chance to both look at other examples to lead the way in the right way. I think in Canada, we tend to think about things a lot before we kind of jump in. And I think this is good in this particular case. So the patients are pretty much the same. The systems are different. How they're funded and what aspects of a patient gets emphasis, that changes a lot. As you said, with regards to technology, meaning software technology and IT, we love to rush ahead with that. What I'm seeing at the moment is if you can really bring that technology and the clinical patient need together, then you really have a better model. So a random example, a random kind of thing might be the importance of some face-to-face visits. So there's a lot of good work being done in technology with remote patient monitoring, with telephone, phone-based kind of care coordination work and all that. It's all good and it all adds value. But there's also plenty of evidence that mixing that with some face-to-face in the home visits also makes a huge difference to outcomes.
I was speaking at a conference a couple of months ago in the US, and it was a healthcare payers conference. The entire conference revolved around Medicare, Medicaid, and with the state of really the healthcare industry in the United States. It's all about, you know, going towards a single healthcare payer. There's chaos between different states. Everybody has their own idea, and there's no consolidation or there's no one single path that they seem to be taking, and it's a big challenge. Now, contrary to that, in Canada, if we talk about Canada, in Canada, we have one of the most brilliant healthcare systems in the world.
It is.
And although people complain about the cost of healthcare in different ways, I think we are really privileged to have a system that works. And that's the greatest and the biggest advantage, I would say. Do you find the system similar to those in Asia Pac? How do these compare with not just the US, but how is Canada seen as a healthcare leader across the world? Could you give us some
insight? Across the world, we find Canada is seen as a global leader in healthcare in many ways. Obviously, my kind of expertise and interest is in healthcare IT as opposed to medicine surgery. My interest in healthcare, primary care, integrated care, all these chronic disease, that's kind of where I'm interested. And in that space, I can tell you that we have built great examples. Alberta Netcare solution, for instance, pulls together all of the data affecting all of the patients in the entire province. So you can break your leg skiing at Banff, and the emergency room doctor who sees you in Banff knows that you're also having treatment in Edmonton for this and maybe treatment in Calgary for that. It's all there. Now, I've personally taken people from Singapore, from Spain, from the US, from Japan. I've yet to see anyone who didn't say, that's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what we want, yeah. You know, a fully integrated system where you know what's going on. So, yeah, absolutely on that piece. I just in passing on the US side, there is, as you say, these healthcare conferences tend to be so much focused on payment for care. And the big issue in the US with their healthcare system is that it's what we call fragmented. And so if people are interested to really dig in a kind of academic or at least in-depth look at some of this stuff, there's some good books even on fragmentation in US healthcare. What it means is that you go and see one provider, then you go and see another, but he's out of network, so that payer doesn't pay, and you end up with little segments of healthcare information plus little segments of cost, and they just don't work together, and it's very fragmented. Now, care is fragmented everywhere, but some places much less so than others. And so the US become an extreme example of fragmentation of care. While there have been moves to improve on that, the focus at the moment in the US is all about the payment for healthcare. And I think it's very clear that on that front, it's losing. They're paying way more for healthcare and they're getting with less value. So if you look at the UK or look at Canada, New Zealand, so situation solution countries where the model of care is much more oriented to primary care, you'll see that the cost of that care is much, much less and the outcomes are much better. So why is it, it's sometimes called the paradox of primary care? A primary care physician is not trained, they're well trained, but they're not trained as in depth as a neurosurgeon or so on. Yet the primary care situations deliver better outcomes and it's good. So why is that? Almost certainly it's because the care is in the community, close to the patient, and you have people who know all about you. When you know, in the old model anyway, you'd have a primary care physician for most of your life even, and so he knows you really well, and so he or she is best able to make decisions for you. So what we see happening is there is an awareness that the care is better overall performed in the community, with many, many exceptions.
Yep.
I mean, there was a great story about a child having heart surgery in the womb at Mount Sinai in SickKids. Fantastic. And you know, if I had a child with heart valve problem, for sure I would be so grateful to have that care. So we mustn't lose that. But if you look in particular at chronic diseases, those kind of problems just go on, the care for them is much better in the community, plenty of evidence. But traditionally, care in the community has been fragmented. You go and see this guy, you go and see a counsellor, maybe you go and see a dietitian, and it's all little pieces of information not joined up. So our interest in integration means that we can bring that to the community care. We can bridge to the traditional primary-secondary boundaries. So for instance, in Alberta, we do electronic referrals. And in Ontario, we do the hospital report manager, or now the health report manager, which sends discharge letters and things from the hospital to the community. Mm-hmm. So that's great. That's bringing together two big pieces of the healthcare system.
Correct.
But what's kind of exciting for us at the moment is the ability, and we're feeling our way and evolving, but all of the care in the community. Let's make what care is given in the community, let's make it better. Let's pull it all together.
Yeah. Now, technology plays such a huge part in everything that we do, but despite the fact that technology is a great enabler for end results and those results, those positive outcomes that you need, I think a lot of this is also the process. Unless you don't have the right process in place, no amount of technology is going to do anything for you. And I think this is such a cultural shift in some cases that a lot of people mistake that technology is going to do everything for them.
Yes.
And it's all going to be very amazing. How do you see technology playing a part from where you sit?
Yeah.
Not just at Orion, but in the industry in general.
Right. So we think about this a lot. I did an MBA, and in the courses, one of the theoretical kind of points that they pushed was there should be a business strategy, and then the technology should support and enable that business strategy. And we all know that feels right intuitively. The technology should be built to support the business strategy, and the
Correct.
Business strategy is the processes. However, we are aware that technology can drive new things because of having capabilities. And I mean, obviously the phone, for instance, the Steve Jobs kind of world where you actually kind of know more than even the consumer knows, and you're able to produce something that is so much better than what you had before, you can kind of change things a lot. So you've got those two kind of perspectives on this. In healthcare, I've seen both. So if we take it just to focus again on the community care model and where things are at the moment. So as I said, for referrals and discharges, you can automate those and make those electronic. In that case, the process is very standard. Mm-hmm. It's not complex, and the technology can easily map to it. When we move into the community and trying to coordinate the community, there's a lot of change. There's a lot of churn. For instance, in Ontario, the CCAC is being folded into the LHINs, for instance.
Yep.
So if you wrote technology that was designed for the CCACs, is it going to map to the new process with the LHINs?
Yeah. Do you mind giving us a quick overview, or like a hierarchical picture for those viewers that who don't know about Ontario's specific healthcare system?
Yes.
Just a very brief, high level,
because
please.
I'm actually learning some of this on the job too. I've spent the last few years somewhat embedded in the US world. But I think the model of care that is evolving in Ontario is a really good one. I think where we're evolving to is regions, multiple regions, which we call LHINs, for local health networks. Mm-hmm. So local regions who have roughly a population base, say 1 million people, out of Ontario having say 14 million. So divided into a certain size that is manageable.
Okay.
So that's the first piece. I've seen, so Alberta, they've tried to integrate the entire province into one.
Wow.
So that you've got like 4 million in one thing.
Does the size of the population
size does matter.
Okay.
Yeah, my view is somewhere between 1 and 4 million. You certainly don't want to start getting larger and larger because there's too many things to organize and bring together. So you have the LHINs, you have a hospital, obviously with high-tech specialties, and then regional hospitals. You have, so within a LHIN, which is trying to organize and manage and support and grow healthcare for one region of roughly 1 million people. Within that, you have what we call the health links, and these are, say, hospitals and primary care working together to see if they can bridge the gaps and do things better by virtue of being more integrated. So I think it's a very good model. Does that kind of
it does,
give you enough?
Yeah. And I think last month, or earlier this year, not far ago, a major change took place within this LHIN system within Ontario.
Yes. So also within Ontario, going back for quite some time, have been these community care and access centres.
Yes.
And so what's happened there is if we took sort of primary care, secondary care, kind of the traditional healthcare model, and then you had the community care. So this was a model of care embedded in the community and providing access to both community resources, but also sometimes to the health system.
Yeah.
So for various reasons that, I'm not an expert on at all, but the model wasn't working so well. So what we've done is we've folded that capabilities into the LHIN.
Okay.
So now the LHIN has responsibility for both the kind of primary secondary care, the traditional healthcare system, but also the community. So, you know, the home care visiting nurses, the palliative care nurses, mm-hmm. all of that is now part of each LHIN.
Excellent.
Which is a good integrated model.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, I know there's, and we always talk about innovation and technology and, you know, where things are moving. We were talking just before we got started here as well as to what is the industry doing about consolidating this. Yeah. I know Orion came out with a tool recently that changes things a little bit, and it's very interesting what that tool does. I would love to hear a little bit more about it.
Right. So the essential idea is to have a plan of care for the patient that is available wherever that patient is seen. Now, what does that mean, and what's in a plan of care? So as we're talking, there's really kind of two or three at least key elements to a plan of care. Number one, what is your doctor trying to achieve in terms of managing your healthcare? So we could look at situations, say, a chronic disease, so you've got diabetes. What is the doctor trying to do? Improve your insulin levels, measure things. Let's say you're a drug dependent, the opioid crisis, maybe your doctor is trying to wean you off the opioids, and in association with maybe other conditions that you may have, maybe stress, depression, and so on, that's leading you to the opiate. So you have what we would call a clinical plan. I'm going to put you on these medications, I'm going to organize some tests, and I'm going to slowly reduce your medications to wean you off. As a patient, there's a patient piece. So as a patient, okay, I know I've got diabetes and I know my doctor's tweaking things and so on. I'm going to follow a diet plan. I'm going to maybe look at some exercise I can do. I'm going to learn and understand more about my condition. As a drug dependent, or a simple example, I'm a smoker. How my doctor wants me to stop smoking, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So we have, just to recap, we have that clinical care plan, but then as a patient, if I feel like having a cigarette, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So if your goal, which is I want to reduce my cigarettes to nothing, down to zero, the actions are I'm going to set a quit day and I'm going to get ready. So on the day I quit, it won't be possible to buy cigarettes. And if I feel like having a smoke, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Go for a run or something. And then goals, actions, and barriers. So what's stopping me? Well, for me, I get nervous socially and I need a cigarette. So how am I going to cope next time in a social situation? Mm-hmm. So you see how there's the clinical kind of plan, but the patients and the role of that patient is growing and growing. As I think as patients learn to take on more and good evidence, patients can be fully involved. And so that blurs that boundary, because the patients can learn their care plan, the patients can learn what their drugs do.
Yep.
The patient, we've shown patients, especially say you have a complex disease, patients in those situations are capable of understanding the clinical trials in full detail, every bit as much as their physician.
Yep.
So over time those boundaries will blur. Then there's things like, well, who's involved in looking after you?
Mm-hmm.
So this is another part of the plan. You know, who's your specialist? Who's your dietitian? Yeah. Who's your counselor?
So does this really put a lot more, I wouldn't say just information, but a lot more know-how and decision-making capability in the hands of the patients now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a blend. So what I was wanting to say is this is an Ontario promoted and funded tool. It's comprehensive, and it allows patients to be a bigger part of their care.
Yep.
It enables patients to more easily see, and everyone who sees them to know what's going on. Now, and I think actually also just to round that out is, compared to where Orion was, say, 3 years ago, I would say globally, this was and is one of the best examples of, you know, a really good care plan that really coordinates or aims to coordinate care.
Yeah.
Now, in the last couple of years, so we've deployed similar things in some other sites and things, the technology has grown. So and it's technology and its capabilities. So one of the big ones, to try and cover quickly, is from bringing the physicians in. So the physicians have always had their EMR, and the physician wants everything to be in the EMR.
Correct.
So one of the things has been to bring the data both in both ways. So, for instance, display that care plan in the EMR so the physician doesn't have to go out to a website to see it. Dietitian might have to go to the website, but the physician can see it inside the EMR. And then the other piece is if the physician says, well, I'm changing the medications, then that medication data to send that up to the central care plan. Mm-hmm. So that was EMR integration. That technically that's not too hard, but it has been a block, and it's because you have multiple vendors and the way each vendor writes, the way they store their data, the data model, and all these kind of technical things.
Yep.
Those are overcome now. That's really the message: is it's now perfectly possible to easily integrate between EMR and a care plan, for instance. The other piece is it is related to that. So in Ontario, we have a number of other stores of data about patients. So the care plan that I'm talking about always integrated with some earlier integrated assessment records, but it did not integrate with other parts of information. There's the connecting Greater Toronto, mm-hmm. and there's a number of other mm-hmm. information stores of data around the province. So two things. We can now integrate both directions, in most cases, the data from both that provincial asset and the care plan. Two benefits from that. As a provider, I previously I had to enter all the data manually. So that takes a lot of time, is redundant, and causes people to turn off. If mm-hmm. it's going to take me an hour to fill out this wonderful care plan, I'm going to get bored. But if the medications are there already, and the lab results, and the previous assessment, and all of these things, now, as a clinician, all I have to do is, okay, you know, I've check, and I want to alter this, check, everything else, because it's a chronic disease, typically, doesn't change that much, so most things stay in place, but there's some tweaks I'm going to do for you as a patient today.
So in terms of a rollout, how will this roll out, or how is it rolling out?
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're talking with the LHINs and explaining to them really the pieces in the puzzle as we see it, which is there's a single coordinated care plan that has a very strong future in terms of direction of healthcare, that this can be embedded within other information assets, other tools within the clinician's workflow, made available to people in the community and so on. So we're talking with them and saying, this is a way that you can now evolve that care coordination tool to do more, and as a backbone, as a information or IT strategy, as well as a clinical strategy for what LHINs should do.
Yeah, I think that takes away a lot of pain that we're actually seeing a lot of pain because of technology in existing legacy industries, and healthcare being one, because in many cases, let's say large institutions and organizations are very slow to move and adapt the new technological innovations because it's just very time consuming. There's also the aspect of training people with the new systems, with multiple systems, and it's a constant challenge that I'm sure you're seeing as well.
Yes.
Out there, not just in Ontario, but across the globe.
Absolutely.
And I think if you simplify things and consolidate them, I think that changes a lot of things. For me, I mean, really, the simplicity and the consolidation adds a lot of value, because I know in Ontario, and we're talking about Ontario, this would take us many, many steps ahead. Mm. And it's just a matter of time when the LHINs start using this system and they start integrating it.
Yes.
When do you expect, I would say, this to be mass adopted, where we are full on, 100% up and running? What's the timeline or roadmap for this?
Right. So it's LHIN by LHIN, I guess, is probably go to a LHIN, explain to them what, especially the LHINs that are already well down the path. And so if I said 12 months, and it's very difficult trying to look ahead and predict things in the future, but if we said, let's look at this in 12 months' time in terms of, this is kind of the two dimensions. One is, will you have more and more capabilities?
Yep.
So the way we like to think of this is, so more capabilities might be random examples, a medication reconciliation, so a full understanding of that, a comprehensive problem list, but then also some of the other things that in the, from the community that they want. So having that, and then the other dimension is more patients being on it and more LINS using it. And so you grow capabilities and you also grow adoption. So I would think, so taking an absolute guess at it, in 12 months we should be able to have this deployed in several of the LINS. And in terms of the depth of penetration, within 12 months we should be able to be doing, you know, hundreds of these a month kind of thing.
Amazing, yeah.
With the chronic disease, what happens is you find a new patient and then they stay in your system. Then you find another one. Because it's, you never get cured from a lot of these things, mm-hmm. diabetes, mm-hmm. heart failure and so on. So you tend to increase the number of patients that you have to manage.
Yeah.
And this is an important point, that it may seem easy at the start, but as your system grows, it's like the lily in the pond, and as it grows and suddenly you're swamped.
Yeah.
And that's a common clinician perspective on chronic disease. I've got all of these patients with so many problems and they just go on and on. So the technical side to that is you need to be able to scale. You need to be able to handle hundreds and keep growing, both in numbers of patients and care plans and all of that, and also the capabilities. And you need to keep it, I mean, it's quite a challenge, because then you need to also keep it by using a web-based interface that the EMR interface that the physicians are used mm-hmm. to, or a web-based interface that most people are used to, that also eases the pain that you're talking about.
Yep.
Because I completely agree. I mean, the situation at the moment, for instance, in the patient portal space, is terrible. Most specialists and most primary care physicians and many others provide an individual patient portal based mm-hmm. on their little piece.
Correct.
The patient is supposed to go and look at this patient portal to see what the GP is doing, and then go to this one to see what their dermatologist is doing. You know, and we see that in everyday life, as you said, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and on and on and on and on and on. There's so many. By pulling all of this together in a single view, which I believe we can do, and which we've demonstrated capabilities, that keeps it easier. And that does reduce the pain. You don't have to go in and out of multiple systems. You don't have to understand multiple systems. And stepping back a second, if you look at Orion from, you know, as a global company, and what is the kind of overall global kind of strategy, where are we going?
Yep.
We see the ability, which links us back to what we're talking about at eHealth, the ability to have all manner of data in our databases, in our systems. So genomics, device data, claims data if you can get that, clinical data. We just see a huge range. When you start mm-hmm. to list them out, there's a lot of different data types and data pieces that you want to pull together.
Yep.
So that's our vision, is that we can pull all of those together, and then the tricky bit then, once you've got that, is understand that data.
Yep.
And then either we provide applications, we're back in the technology space, we provide applications, but other companies or other people can also use that to write their applications that can leverage it.
That's amazing. I think this era that we're seeing of change, innovation, technology, value creation, I think partnerships are key in this era. And in although, you know, we'd love to do everything on our own, but there's capabilities we have to leverage and just, you know, support the ecosystem in many, many different ways.
Yes.
Just another couple of minutes with you. In terms of not being intimidated by too much technology and you know, putting people into a place where they don't understand, you know, how to adopt, what would you say is the best practice, or how should we follow the adoption of technology in general? This is not only about the tool as an example.
Yes.
What's the simpler way to approach technology adoption?
So my view of one of the best approaches to that is to introduce it early and then to evolve it. So some of my experience is in hospitals, for instance. So let's say we want the hospital to do a documentation system. What you would do is find five users, kind of thing, five nurses or something, get them to use it, but then and take their feedback. So this is the agile approach, and link that closely with the end user. So we mentioned talking about technology in general and mentioned Steve Jobs, who legendary, had the ability to see what people wanted before they knew they wanted it. I'm not that smart, and I think the better model is to work closely with the end users of your system, turn it around, tweak it, and then feed it back. And then it becomes, the other piece is, as you're talking about processes, how much do you, ideally you already have the process figured out, but if it involves a whole new process, then I like to see a lot of testing as well as a lot of users using it before, as a way of getting a big rollout. I was lucky in New Zealand, a primary care physician in New Zealand for 15 years, and then I worked for the District Health Board, which is like the LIN. And we looked out there and we saw 60-70% of physicians using EMRs and 30% not. So you go and talk to them. What is stopping you? Why the hospital, we've provided this electronic lab results and you're not using it. It's amazing if you go to them and say, what's stopping you? And you understand, it's, well, I just can't remember my password. I don't know how to use this file. Yeah. Oh, you do this and this. Ah, oh, I got it. And once you unlock a few, you can do, the rest will follow. Yeah. They will talk amongst themselves, but it can be nitty gritty issues that you can really only find out by going to the space.
Yeah.
You know, so I would go out to that physician's office and say, what's the problem? You know, again, that face-to-face also.
That's amazing. Where can our listeners and viewers get more information about
on the New Zealand side of things, for instance,
on the Canadian, the Ontario side of things?
Yes. So on the website for the so there's the Orion Health website, and we have a specific site for Canada. So if you access it within Canada, you'll see some of those things.
Okay.
We'll also perhaps provide you with some material.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we'll post the links into the bottom of the video and the podcast if you need more information. But it's been wonderful speaking with you. Between you know, the wave of technology innovation that's happening, between you know, the state of global healthcare and the challenges, really, I think we all are struggling to provide more value to communities and people that need healthcare at the right time through the right means. I think that's the need of the hour, is to be able to serve those people. I personally, as a technologist, see that we're going in the right direction. I think this is brilliant how you know, the state of healthcare in Ontario, as an example, is consolidating.
Absolutely.
And I wished that some of our neighbors would do a lot more than to consolidate things, and hopefully they will. It's a matter of, it's a complex problem. It's a problem to solve for a few hundred million people. So it's easier said than done. Any last words from you, Chris?
No, I think one point that just stand out through all of this, looking at the global healthcare, these kind of 1 million size things. In New Zealand, we tried payer split, payer provider split. We tried private companies. We tried a whole bundle of things in a relatively short time, and came down to a district health board, one region, integrated, where the data shared, the everything shared in that region, and it's locally responsive. In the US, there is that. They're called ACOs. They're just accountable care organizations. It's very similar. They have potential, but they may be the victim of politics, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Canada and Ontario, we have the LINs. In the UK, they had global, what they call them, but they had primary care networks and so on. You do see similar things. I think Canada is really well placed, and Ontario especially. I think it's the right model, and I think we're moving in the right direction. So.
Excellent. Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm here with Chris Hobson from Orion Health, Chief Medical Officer. Drop him a line or call Orion Health and talk to him. He's more than happy to share comments. My name is Ian Khan, and you've been watching the Innovation Times podcast. For more information on me, my work, and the change of innovation, changes in technology that's taking place, go to my website, iankhan.com, to learn more. Thank you so much, and see you next time. If you're confused about the current state of technology and the impact that it has on the world, then you are at the right place. My name is Ian Khan. I'm an author and a technology speaker who focuses on the value created in the current world. I talk about ideas, thoughts, and value creation in general that helps us propel ourselves into a future that's driven by technology. The Internet of Things, blockchain, artificial intelligence, cloud are all means to create value. Technology, in general, is an enabler for positive business outcomes. If you're confused about the outcomes that technology can create for you, then you're at the right place. For more information, you can always visit me on my website at www.iankahn.com or follow me on social media on Twitter at iankahnlive. Let's change the future by creating a value, nothing else. Let's just change the future by creating more value. That's what I stand for, and that's my message. When you're